Thank God for his presence tonight, amen. Thank God for one another and the ability to be able to come into his presence and meet with his people and have God warm our hearts and touch us and heal us and fill us and then send us out again into this world. We never take that for granted. He is faithful, and when we are open to him and available to him, he comes and he meets us as he promised he would. He said, "Where two or three gather together in his name, ready to meet with him, he would be there in the midst." And he is always faithful to meet us and to keep his word. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Judges chapter 6. We'll be in Judges chapter 6 and 7 tonight. And we'll be looking at a story that we began to look at about 2 weeks ago. And this is on the life of a young man who's called Gideon. And my title tonight, if I were to entitle what I'm going to share with you from my heart tonight, I would entitle, "For the Glory of God and the Souls of Men." For the glory of God and the souls of men. Just to give you a little bit of a background of what was taking place at this particular time in history, in this particular time and day. And you'll begin to see, even as we look at what was taking place, how it relates to you and I today. It was a time when everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It was a time where it was difficult to scratch out a living, to make a living. The economy was bad, and people were living in fear about the future. Does that sound familiar tonight? I said, does that sound familiar tonight? It's like the day and you and I live in today. There was a spiritual dryness, and death permeated the society, and it was all as a result of a people, the majority of the people at the time, who had abandoned the Lord. They had forsaken the Lord. They weren't serving God. You had, you know, handfuls here and there that were, but the majority of the society at the time had abandoned the Lord, had forsaken the Lord. And so you, as a result, there was this spiritual dryness, this spiritual dearth, this death that permeated the society. The lives and homes of those that day were being ravaged by the enemy. People were starving for spiritual nourishment. Their enemies were cruel and left them with nothing. Their enemies stayed until the land was stripped bare. And so those things that threatened to devour them remained in their lives, and there was nothing there to challenge those things in their lives. And so as a result, they found themselves without anything, with nothing. They found themselves, their lives having been stripped bare. And so as a result, it produced a cry in the hearts of the people. And in answer to this cry, God raises up a young man named Gideon. Gideon is called by God. God calls this young man Gideon so that the Lord could use his life to make a difference by leading an army of about 32,000 against a seemingly insurmountable odds of an army of about 135,000. So you imagine this. God calls this young man to make a difference in his society, to make a difference in the world he was living in. And he's called to lead this army, to go against this enemy, the enemy of the day that was challenging the people of God. And his army was made up of about 32,000 men that soon God was going to whittle down to about 300 men. And they were to go up against this army of 135,000. So you've got to imagine, this was an impossible situation. And yesterday I did the math. 135,000 divided by 300 is 450-1. 450-1. So you're talking about a completely impossible situation. And Gideon would have thought everything was great, but then God whittles his, like I mentioned, cuts down his army to about 300. And those, and the 300 out of this army of 32,000, only 300 the Lord could use along with Gideon for this battle, to win this battle, to fight this battle. And as I began to look again at this particular passage, I've been studying this passage, and God's been speaking to my heart through this passage. Why were 31,700 men disqualified from God being able to use them? I began to think about that, and we talked about that briefly about 2 weeks ago, but I want to look at that again tonight. What was it about them that disqualified them from service? And when you begin to read the story, you find several things that begin to point out. First of all, the Lord comes to Gideon and he says, tell all those that are timid and afraid to go home. Tell them to just go home. And what God did not want was he didn't want that timidity and fear to spread among his people. And so he says to Gideon, tell those people to go home and you should have seen the dust. Just like that, 22,000 of Gideon's army take off. And so Gideon is left now with, 10,000. And then the Lord says, you still have too many. I want to test them again. I want to whittle your army down again because there are others there that are still not fit for battle. And so he tells them, take them down to the brook. And when they get down to the brook, I want you to separate those who take the water and cup it in their hands to drink it and those who get on their knees and put their face in the water to drink. And so God separates them, and what ends up happening is 9,700 get down on their knees, put their face completely in the water, and only 300 take the water in their hands and lap it like a dog, begin to lap the water with their tongue. And so the Lord tells them, only those 300 I'm going to use, they're the only ones fit for battle, send the other ones home. And I began to think about that. What was the problem here? And when you begin to research it and you begin to look it up, first of all, those that were timid and afraid, those that were fearful and afraid, you see there's a focus on self. There's a focus on self, a focus on self-preservation. You see this in the 22,000 that were sent home because they were timid and afraid. They were more concerned about their personal safety than the glory of God, than the purposes of God, than the plan that God had and had destined to bring about through those that were left in the army. And so you see that there was self-aggrandizement. There was a focus on their own future, their own plans. And so again, you see them disqualified for service. There was a self-reliance in them, and you see that. When the Lord in Judges chapter 7, verse 2 here, he says, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. So you see, there's a self-reliance in them. There's a tendency to rely on self, to look to self. Instead of giving God the glory, there's a tendency to trust in self and to glory in self. These that were afraid, they began to see the enemies of God as bigger than God. They thought this is an impossible situation. It's just like you and I today looking at society around us. We talked about the lights. You go out, all you have to do is go out these doors and you see the lights, you see the billboards, you see the giant screens, you see the people rushing here, rushing there. And when you begin to see these things, or you walk the halls of your school on a weekly basis, or in your office as you go from your cubicle to maybe to your boss's office or to your supervisor's office or to the water cooler, you see all these people rushing about, and it would seem that this is an impossible situation. It's an impossible fight. What can I do to make a difference? This is hopeless. And see, that's what began to happen here. The people were so focused on what was going on around them that they lost sight of the Almighty God, who is the creator of all things, who holds the very breath of their enemies in his hands. The one who can just speak a word and shut the lights down, just like that. How many of you were around with the last blackout in this city? Raise your hand real high. Just like that, in seconds, everything was shut down, right? Just like that, in seconds. I mean, think of the snowstorms, the massive snowstorms that we've had in the city. And then just like that, everything stops. The traffic stops. You see subways are in disarray. Just like that, God can stop everything. He can stop everything. A hurricane, a tidal wave, a tsunami, just like that can stop everything. So these people are looking to the circumstance, and they see this circumstance as greater than God. And so God can't use them. Now, the one thing I want you to understand that we're talking about tonight is we're talking about being fit for service. I'm not talking about salvation. This has nothing to do with salvation. Because, see, the Bible says, come just as you are. You can be afraid. You can be timid. You can have all kinds of issues and problems. And you don't have to have it all together. You come to Christ as you are, and he sets your heart aright. Are you with me tonight? Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? So we come to God with all our baggage, with all our problems, and he cleans up our act. He sets us straight. And it's a wonderful thing when Christ changes your life. But that's not what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about being, once you've given your heart to the Lord, we're talking about being fit for service now. Are you with me? And so these had to go home. They 22,000, they weren't fit for service. And then the next group, you have the next group who gets down on their knees and they put their face in the water, totally submerged in the water. These were focused on self-gratification. Self-gratification. These were those who put their face in the water. They were not focused on the task at hand. Instead, they were focused on satisfying their own thirst and need. This can be the case even as Christians. The water, being a type of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, where we can be so focused on furthering our own spiritual growth and well-being that we forget a lost and dying world that is out there. The enemy would like nothing more than to get us focused on ourselves and not on God's heart and glory. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Can I remind you tonight? We can be totally unaware of the enemy's tactics in this matter. The Bible tells us that the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in the world today. 1 John 4:3. Jesus said, we were to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. He said, these are the two greatest commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. But the world says, do you. Look out for yourself. Do whatever makes you feel good. Do whatever you have to do to blow past your neighbor and to get ahead. Even if it means stepping on someone along the way. Do whatever you've got to do to get ahead. Look out for number one, for yourself. This is the way the world thinks. This is the message the world preaches. But tonight I'd have you to consider that this mentality has somehow found its way into the house of God as well. Where we can come looking only for what's in it for me. We can come to church looking for what's in this for me. What can I get out of this? How can I be blessed today? How can I better myself so that things are well with me? Do you see the focus? Me, I, myself, me. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be blessed. But if you and I can come to church and be blessed, yet not be concerned about a dying world all around us, there is a problem. If we can go about our daily lives not concerned about the poor, the needy, those who have no help or hope, then something is terribly off. Our Christianity has totally missed the mark and lacks the heart of God. Many, not all, thank God, but many of us, and I include myself, are just concerned about what's in it for me. This is what the devil wants. It's the mindset of the world. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is it too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. He says, then you will know what God wants you to do. Do you want to know the will of God? I said, do you want to know the will of God? Well, the apostle gives us clear instructions how we might know the will of God tonight. He says, give your body to God. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. He says, then you will know what God wants you to do. Then you'll know the will of God. And he says, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. In other words, you will truly be fulfilled. Your life will truly be fulfilling. Tonight, I think of a story of a young man whose life I read about. This young man's name was Bruce Olson. And at the age, I believe it was of 18, 19, he heard about the Matalones, a violent Stone Age tribe living on the borders of Venezuela and Colombia in the Amazon. No one in the outside world knew anything about the Matalone culture, their language, or their life. With much difficulty, after being shot with Matalone arrows by this tribe, Olson began to live with them in 1962, learning their language and culture. Olson formed a pact with a young man named Bobby. The two worked together, visiting villages and helping the medicine men and women establish health centers. Bobby asked Olson how he could walk on Jesus' trail. See, because they were used to running through the jungles and walking on these different trails. And so he asked this man, Olson, how can I walk on Jesus' trail, on Jesus' path? In other words, how can I live this life? Olson had difficulty explaining faith in the Bari language. Olson reminded Bobby of one of his first celebrations with the tribe when he was afraid to climb into one of the highest, the high-strung hammocks loved by the Bari people to swing free and sing songs with the tribe. He had wanted to keep one foot on the ground, but Bobby had told him that he could only sing if he had fully suspended himself in this hammock. So Olson said, that is how it is when you follow Jesus. He told Bobby, he said, no one can tell you how to walk his trail. He said, only Jesus can. But to find out, you have to tie your hammock strings to him and be suspended in God. Hallelujah. 2 days later, Bobby told Olson, whose nickname was Bruchko, I've tied my hammock strings to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I speak a new language. For the Bari tribe, the Bari people, the word language is equivalent to life. Bobby spoke of having a new life suspended in Jesus. Months later, at the tribe's Festival of Arrows, a time of pact making and storytelling, Bobby was challenged to sing a singing competition with an older chief. And climbing into a single hammock, the two men sang alternating lines, and Bobby sang about how the Bari had been deceived, but that Jesus had walked the Bari's trail to lead them back to God. The song lasted over 10 hours. imagine. But the effect was startling. The entire tribe accepted the song about Jesus. Soon the song had spread to other Bari villages at other festival of arrows. Within months, virtually the entire Bari people had accepted the contextualized version of Christianity. Current estimates are that 70% of the Bari people now are Christians. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise tonight. There is a fulfillment that can only come when we are living for the glory of God and the benefit of others. Young people, hear me tonight. There is a fulfillment that can only come when we are living for the glory of God and the benefit of others. I mean, all you have to do is look at society today. I think of after the earthquake in Haiti and the people's hearts who were moved to compassion to do something about it. I think of Sean Penn, a famous actor who's actively, constantly in Haiti. And he's not even a believer. And just his heart is moved. And there's a fulfillment that comes out of that. I think of all the actresses who have adopted children from poor nations, third world countries. Why? Why do that? Because there's a sense of satisfaction that comes. Even an unbeliever knows that there's a sense of satisfaction when you help other people. Are you with me tonight? There's a sense of fulfillment that comes. How much more when you're a believer, when you're living for God's purposes and for the benefit of others. Gideon and his men were willing to let the mindset go that it's me, 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 all about me. They were willing to let that mindset go and those pursuits of self go. They understood that they were called to a higher cause. Do you understand that you are called to a higher cause tonight? Gideon's encounter with the Lord produced a change in him. And a genuine, fruitful encounter with the Lord. In a genuine and fruitful encounter with the Lord, this will always be the case, young people. When you and I have an encounter with God, it will produce several things. First of all, it produces a conviction of sin. Gideon heard a convicting word. If you read Judges chapter 6, you find that when the people began to cry out to the Lord, look with me there, Judges chapter 6, when the people began to cry out to the Lord, verse 7, the Bible says the Lord sent a prophet to Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. So God sends a word. And the first thing that happens when you begin to seek the face of God and you cry out to him and you begin to lift your voice to him and you have an encounter, a genuine encounter with God, my friend, it will produce a conviction of sin. It will produce a change in your life. God will send his word. He will send his word, and it produces a humility. It produces a sense of unworthiness. It produces a deep sense of need in your heart and mind. It shows us that we need God. God, I need you. It produces that cry in you. It produces a deep sense of inadequacy. God, this is bigger than me. And you see that in Gideon's life, when the Lord comes to him and begins to call him and says, Gideon, I have called you, you mighty man of valor. And when the Lord began to call him, you see Gideon saying in verse 15, he says, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. I'm the youngest one. What can I do, God, to make a difference in society? How can you use my life? And so you see him not looking to self, but looking away from himself and realizing, God, I am so inadequate. And folks, that's what happens when you begin to have a genuine encounter with the Lord. That's what begins to happen. It's the most natural thing. He knew that he and his people were far from the life that God had intended for them. But the story doesn't end there. The Bible tells us that the Lord began to show Gideon how much he cared for him and how he was about to use his life. And that in Christ, in God, he had everything he needed for life and godliness, like the scripture tells us. And so you see this conviction, but then after that, this encounter with God, it produced an availability to the call of God. Does that make sense tonight? So there was a conviction of sin, a change in his life. But then there was a desire to want to serve God, to be available to God, to be available to the call of God. And you see the same thing in the prophets of old. Think of Isaiah when he saw the Lord. The Bible says when he began to see God, all of a sudden he was undone, which meant he was convicted. He began to see his own sin and he began to cry out, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And folks, it's the most natural thing that begins to happen. But then when the Lord said, after he had cleansed his lips, taken a coal from the altar and touched his lips and had cleansed him, what happened? There came a cry in heaven, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And then all of a sudden, Isaiah responds and he says, Lord, send me. God, send me. God, send me. Hallelujah. You see the same thing over and over in the scriptures. You see it in the life of Daniel. You see it in the life of Paul, even in the New Testament. When he has an encounter with God, all of a sudden he's humbled and he realizes the error of his way and his life has changed. And then all of a sudden God is sending him into the marketplace with a message from heaven. Gideon went from hiding to leading others to victory by the Spirit of the living God. He went from fear to faith. He went from self-focus to focusing outward on the glory of God and the needs of others. Despite the possibility of personal injury, Gideon and his army went to battle for the glory of God and the souls of men. Gideon was not overly concerned about himself. He and his band of 300, risking all, went to bat for the rest of their community. What would that look like today? I ask you tonight. What would that look like today? Prayer and time with Jesus should cause God's character, heart, and burden to rub off on us. Do you know when you hang out with somebody a whole lot, all of a sudden you start to pick up things from them? Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. I think of my wife and I. You know, we've been married. We're going on 20 years of being married. 20 years of being married. And it's been the most awesome, fun, incredible journey. I mean, we have fun. We are constantly laughing. We have such a good time together, and we love to hang out. She is my best friend. But one day, I remember I had this habit. I don't drink soda anymore, but when I used to drink carbonated drinks and soda, if I drank it too fast, I would get like this, you know, rush, and I would make this face. It was almost like a brain freeze, you know, like if you eat ice cream too fast or something, you get like this brain freeze. And so if I would drink soda too fast and try and gulp it down too fast, all of a sudden just the carbonation was so strong, all of a sudden I'd make this face. I'd go, you know? And then she would say to me, why you make that face? And I said, oh, I drank too fast. I drank the soda too fast. And so And so she would always say that to me, stop making that face. And then one time, long time later, I saw her drinking some soda, and she drank the soda too fast, and she made the same face. And I went, aha, and she goes, oh, no. She had picked up this bad habit from me, yours to me, you know. And folks, when we hang out with people, we pick up their mannerisms. I mean, if you've been in Times Square Church for any amount of time, You watch the pastors. We pick up stuff from each other. I mean, I can name stuff that I've picked up from Pastor Carter, Pastor William. They pick up stuff. We pick up stuff from each other because we're together all the time, see? And it's the most natural thing to happen, and that's, see, what should happen when you and I have an encounter with the Lord, amen? When we're in his presence, when we spend time in prayer and worship, God's character and his heart and his burden should begin to rub off on us. It should become our burden, our heart. We should be looking to serve and meet the needs of others, like Jesus, showing the love of God as the Lord leads us to others, to those around us, not just looking inward, but looking outward. You know something? We are selfish by nature. But when we come to Christ, the Bible says we are made partakers of his divine nature by his precious promises. Are you with me tonight? Tonight, I want you to think of all your unsaved family members. Think of all your unsaved family members. Think of all your unsaved friends, acquaintances, coworkers, colleagues, all your unsaved, unbelieving neighbors. Are you willing to let them go to hell? I ask you again, are you willing to let them go to hell? When you get to heaven, are you okay with the idea that no one else you knew will be there? The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 1, follow God's example in everything you do. Because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love for others. Following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself. Who loved and gave himself. Follow the example of Christ, who loved and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like a sweet-smelling perfume to him. We have to give our all to Jesus if his purposes are to be accomplished in and through our lives. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. If the Lord is going to use us to bring healing and hope to this generation, we, like Gideon, despite the possibility of personal injury, hardship, and or death, have to be willing to go to battle for the glory of God and the souls of men. John the Baptist put it this way: he must increase and I must decrease. Christ must have the preeminence. Christ must have the preeminence. Christ must have the preeminence. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? I want to give an invitation for those who are willing to make an absolute surrender to the call of God on their lives. An absolute surrender. A surrender that could mean you going where God sends you. A surrender that could mean you dying for the cause of Christ. A surrender that means no more holding back, no holds barred, no more games. Tonight, I've made up my mind. I'm going all the way. I'm living for the glory of God and the souls of men. If tonight you say, Pastor, that's me, I'm holding nothing back tonight. I realize what's at stake, and I want to go all the way with him. Would you raise your hand tonight all over this place? Raise your hand tonight all over this place. You can put your hands down. I want to give an invitation in a moment. Also, for first-timers that might be here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm living in sin. I'm living apart from God. But tonight I've heard the testimony. I've heard the songs. And I'm tired of living this way. And I'm asking, Pastor, that you would you pray for me? If that's you tonight and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm miserable in sin. I'm miserable on my own. But I want Christ to change my life. Rest easy, folks. It's okay. Just rest easy. Hallelujah. Let's stand right now. Those of you who raised your hand, I want you to get out of your seat. And those of you who didn't, and maybe you should have. But you say, Pastor, tonight it's all or nothing. I'm surrendering. I'm yielding my life to Christ. Maybe you once walked with the Lord, but you drifted away from him and you're backslidden tonight. And you say, Pastor, I'm tired of living in sin. I'm miserable. My life is miserable. It's a mess. Would you pray for me? I want to give my heart to Christ. I want to surrender to him. If that's you tonight, you get out of your seat and join these that are coming. This is your night for a miracle. You will never be the same. If there's anyone else here, don't rationalize this thing away. That's what the devil would have you. He would have you stay in your place, stay right where you are, stay in captivity, stay in your misery, stay in the life of sin. But you're stepping out in faith. It's a simple act of obedience, just saying, God, I'm giving my all to you. I'm not giving the devil any more place in my life. I want God to have his way. I want God to use me for his glory. Cry out to you. Lift your voice to him tonight. Tell him why you've come. If you've come asking for forgiveness, if you need cleansing tonight, if you need to surrender, maybe those last few things you've been holding out, you've been holding back from the Lord, those things that you've been holding back, just begin to yield those things to him. Surrender those last few things that you've been holding on to. You've been holding on to your life, but he's saying you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to lose if you do that. He says, give him your life. Give him everything. Give him everything. Every single thing. Every single thing. Give it to him tonight. Surrender. Yield to him tonight. Raise your hands to him tonight. Raise your hands to him as a sign of surrender. And tell him, Lord, I'm asking that you forgive me, that you cleanse me. You take everything. Take my life. Take the mess I've made of my life. If your life is a mess, tell him, take the mess I've made in my life tonight. I give it to you. I yield to you. I surrender to you. Take control, God. I give you the steering wheel. I don't want to drive anymore. You drive my life. You take control, Lord. You be glorified. You have your way. Make me into the person I was supposed to be from the very beginning, oh God. Your servant, God. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I give you everything. Come on, folks. You talk to him in your own words. You know what you've been holding out on. You know what that last thing you've been holding back, those things you've been holding back from him. It's time to leave. It's time to surrender those things, to lay those things down. Give him your heart. Give him your all. Give him everything tonight. Give him everything. You can't outgive God. He will give you his life, the fullness of his life. You'll have everything. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, cleanse us tonight. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, God. Oh, God, be glorified tonight. Be magnified tonight. We yield to you tonight. We yield everything to you tonight, oh, God. Be glorified in this house, God. Be glorified in this place. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in this generation. For your name's sake, oh, God. For your name's sake, we surrender, oh, God. That your name might be glorious, Lord, glorious in our schools, glorious in our communities, glorious in our homes, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We yield to you tonight, oh God.
How many who have responded tonight would say, Pastor, my life is a mess. I need you to pray for me. Would you pray with me tonight? I want to give my life to Jesus. Raise your hand tonight. Anybody here, you say, my life is a mess. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I need Christ tonight. I want to surrender everything to him. Raise your hand real high. Those of you, that's you tonight. We're going to pray together. Everybody all over this place, if that's you tonight. I want to lead you in a simple prayer, just a simple prayer of surrender. And it means nothing unless you prayed from your heart, from your gut. It'll be a prayer that I'm leading you in, but if you make the words your own, God will hear you tonight. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you, and he will change your life, and he will take control tonight. But that means you also have to be willing to follow him with your whole heart, and he will help you. That means a willingness to turn from evil and everything that's contrary to his life. Raise your hands as a sign of surrender. Those of you who say, Pastor, that's me. My life's a mess, but I want Jesus Christ to take control, and pray with me out loud. Jesus, I've heard you tonight, and I've responded. I'm asking that you would come and take complete control of my life. I open my heart to you, and I ask that you would come in and cleanse me, forgive me, wash me of all the wrongs that I've done. I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to live in rebellion. I don't want to do my own thing anymore. I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. I want you to fulfill your purposes for my life. Have your way in me. Fill me tonight with your spirit. Give me power to glorify your name and to make a difference in my community. God, I thank you tonight that you loved me so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for the wrong things I've done. Thank you for loving me so tonight. You gave your life for me. Tonight I surrender my life completely to you. I renounce everything of evil, and I acknowledge you as my Lord, my Savior, and my God. In your mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Those of you who prayed that prayer tonight, this is the beginning of a new journey, a new adventure. Walking with the Almighty God who loves you and who has an incredible plan for your life. Would you raise your hand again, those of you who prayed that prayer tonight? Those of you who prayed that prayer tonight, we have some of our prayer partners here that we want to minister to you. They're going to talk with you and pray for you individually. They're part of our trained staff here. And it's going to be important that you get involved in a local church, a local youth group, where you can be taught how to read and study the Bible for yourself, so that God can use you to make a difference in your community. Amen. He's going to begin to teach you what it means to walk with Him and how to hear from Him. It's not enough for the pastor to hear from God. This is about a personal relationship with you and God, your Creator. And now He's going to walk with you, and He's going to talk with you. And the way that's going to happen is as you're going to talk to Him. You're just going to pour out your heart to Him. That's what prayer is. It's just talking to God. Lord, today I've got a test. Would you help me? I need a job. Help me to find one. Lord, would you show me what your plan is for my life? Would you speak to me? And the way He's going to speak back to you is through the Bible. He's going to cause the words on the pages of the Bible to come alive to you. It's no longer going to be just some story. It's going to be life. All of a sudden, you'll be reading something, and all of a sudden, something will just jump out, and you'll know that God is speaking something to you. And then later on that day, or maybe the next day, you'll face something, and then God will bring that scripture that you read back to your remembrance and say, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. Or don't worry, I'm with you. Trust me, I'm going to work this thing out. Does that make sense? Amen. So those of you who raise your hand, I'm going to ask our prayer partners to go ahead and talk and minister to you. The rest, you're welcome to stay here or go back to your seat. If you like prayer, you can stay here and they will pray with you as well. But we need to rejoice in what the Lord has done tonight, because He exposed the enemy's hand tonight to keep us from being ensnared in that trap of focusing on self. So where we can focus on God and minister to others and be effective for the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to His holy name. Let's go worshiping tonight and giving Him praise in Jesus' name.